Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Reverend Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners, because we're so grateful for your encouragement and support. Visit our website to find materials that will encourage and support you in your Christian walk. And today I also want to encourage you to come and join us for an evening of worship and fellowship as Dr. Rick Reed, the president of Heritage College, comes to Ottawa to speak at a event for Good News Christian Ministries at Parkdale United Church on Friday, March 9th, 2014. You can find more details on our website, and I hope you'll find our posters and bookmarks promoting this event around town as well. Today, as I speak to you, it's Palm Sunday as this broadcast is first going to air, and I'd like to read to you the scripture concerning Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem the week before he was crucified. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet, in Galilee." We're going to take a look at the meaning of this honor and glory that Jesus has given. And we're going to take a look at what it means for us to glorify and honor Jesus with our lives. And we'll do that in just a few minutes after we listen to this hymn of triumph and of honor to God, "Lead On, O King Eternal." And this is sung by one of my favorite a cappella groups, the group called GLAD.
Lead on, lead on, lead on, lead on, lead on. on of King Eternal, till Saint's fierce war shall see, and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. For not this of clashing, nor roll of stirring drum, with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom of the King Eternal.
The cross is lifted over us, we journey in its light. A crown awaits the conquest.
Those who know me know that I just love music. I love hymns. I love contemporary music. I love the old gospel songs. I love to sing spirituals with my gospel quartet and to sing all kinds of different genres of Christian music. But some of the hymns that come about on Palm Sunday just have a special place in my heart. Do you remember the hymn, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor to Thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made loud hosannas sing"? Or the other song, "Ride on, ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp ride on to die." Hymns that remember this day in Jesus' life, a day when the sun shone, when the crowds were friendly, when everything was going well. A great day of praise and honor, honor that Jesus greatly deserved. They shouted Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna was the cry that was made to the Messiah who was to come, who was to deliver the people from their bondage. And they called him blessed, and they called him the Son of David. All of these things are true about Jesus. He is, in fact, the Messiah that was promised, and he did come to deliver his people. And these loud praises were so spot on, that when some Pharisees objected and said to Jesus that he needed to quiet the people, he said, "Do you not know that if they were silent, even the very stones would cry out?" Yes, the praise was praise that is due to Jesus. It was due to Jesus and will always be due to Jesus. Praise for his majesty, his glory, his great love, his great power, his great compassion, and all that is the greatness of our God. For Jesus Christ had come to save his people. Now, we sometimes guess that the Pharisees were upset not just because Jesus was getting the praise and they weren't, but also because this cry, Hosanna, was a dangerous term. With Romans occupying Jerusalem, there might be some fear in their part that if Jesus is lauded as a person who is going to be the Messiah bringing deliverance, that the Romans might take that as a sign of rebellion and many people would be harmed. That may be why Caiaphas, the priest, said about Jesus, "It's better that one man should die than that the whole nation should suffer." You'll remember that when Jesus was born, just the announcement that a king had been born in Israel was enough to send the paranoid King Herod into a frenzy and into a furor, a fury, and he massacred children, babies under 2 years of age, just to quash any sense of rebellion. So Jesus' praise was an unguarded praise, and it was right that it should be. The people feared nothing, for Jesus was in their midst. They were confident and hopeful. They believed that nothing could stop Jesus. They understood that they were with someone that they could rejoice in. And can we ask, who were they praising? Well, they give the answer themselves. They were praising the prophet from Galilee. They were praising a man who had come and spoken the oracles of God. He had spoken with authority, so that not only his words of healing and his words of deliverance for the demonically oppressed, but also his words of guidance, of command, were understood to be the very words of God. They were counting him as a prophet, like Elijah, like Elisha, like Isaiah and Daniel, and all the prophets of old. Jesus was like them. Their answer is, for those of us who are Christian, a rather faint praise. Just a prophet? Was Jesus just a prophet? Well, certainly a prophet who comes and faithfully bears the word of God deserves such praise. They deserve to be lauded, and the word that they bring deserves to be honored. But Jesus was more than a prophet, and these people were excited more than just by a teacher who spoke words of wisdom, because he was a healer. Many of these people had heard about, and perhaps many of them had experienced, the healing power of Jesus Christ. They were praising him because he had brought health and wholeness to people who were broken and in great need. Why, there were people who had been blind from birth, and now they could see. There was a young boy restored to his mother, she a widow whose only son had died, and Jesus had raised him from the dead. There was Lazarus, and there were people with all kinds of diseases, from fevers to paralysis, from leprosy to demonic possession, people who had been delivered, healed, set in their right mind, and Jesus was the instrument of all of this blessing. And he brought good news to the outcast. He told sinners that they could be forgiven. He told tax collectors and prostitutes and drunkards and all kinds of people that they could be restored and returned to God's good graces and live in salvation and eternal life. What good news he brought, and who wouldn't praise God if they had and honor the prophet who brought the good news, if they had felt separated from God by their sin and now knew that God had reconciled them? There would be a great joy in understanding that the prophet not only brought words, but brought health. But there were a few things they didn't know about Jesus, a few things that were going to become apparent very soon. And even though their praise died on their lips over the next week, Jesus became worthy of even greater honor than he received on this day. We're going to take a look at more of that after we hear another song. And this is a song from a great old gospel quartet, the King's Heralds. And it says, "If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now."
If we ever needed the Lord before, I know we sure do need him now. Oh, we sure do need him now.
I say we
sure do need him now.
Oh, glory.
If we ever needed the Lord before, I know we sure do need him now. We need him every day and every hour.
Need him at the noonday. is shining bright.
If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. Oh, we sure do need him now. Needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. We need him every day and every hour.
Oh, we need him when we're burdened. We need him when we're sad.
Oh, we need him.
If we ever needed the Lord before,
oh, we sure do need him now.
Oh, we sure do need him now.
We sure do need him now.
Oh, glory.
If we ever needed the Lord before,
oh, we sure do need him now.
We need him.
As Jesus approached Jerusalem and came into the city, he was met by a crowd that was ready to welcome him and praise him for all that they'd seen, the prophet, the healer, the bearer of good news, the teacher of wonderful truths from God. But he draws attention to himself in a couple of other ways that perhaps the crowd hadn't quite noticed yet. He tells his disciples about the prophecy that is given in the Old Testament, that the king would come into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey, and as king on a colt, he would be bringing peace, communicating to the people of God that he came not to bring wrath or judgment upon them, but to bring reconciliation, forgiveness, and joy. So when Jesus enters into the city, he is coming humbly on a donkey, but he's coming as a humble king, not as a servant of low stature, but a king who has come to serve his people with good news. Did everybody who met him with palm branches recognize the claim he was making when he rode in on a donkey? Did they recognize that he was saying, I'm more than a prophet? I'm more than a healer. I am the king that is spoken of in Daniel, the king that is spoken of in Zechariah and Zephaniah, the king that is spoken of throughout the history of Israel, the king that will sit on the throne of David forever. Did they know that they were praising him for that? Or was there yet more praise to be given as that realization comes to the believer? And in fact, they were completely unaware of the greatest act that Jesus would do, because the greatest act of Jesus' life had not yet taken place. Jesus had done all these mighty things for which they praised him, but dying on the cross, as strange as that may seem, is the greatest thing he's ever done. He laid down his life for his people. Paul ponders this mystery. He says, you know, it's very possible that for a good man, one of us might lay down our lives. It might happen. But he said, the mystery of God is this, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. How great a love we have seen. And these people who praised him on the road into Jerusalem had not seen the fullness of his love yet. So we today have more reason to rejoice, more reason to praise. We have more evidence of his love and of his identity as the very Son of God. For we have seen the cross. We have seen God's love fully expressed. And we have witnessed the resurrection. We have heard the testimony from the 500 eyewitnesses that God did not see fit to leave his son to decay in the tomb, but raised him from death and has set him at his right hand above every name and every authority and every power. And so at the end of all time, in the vision of John's glorious insight into the that God gave him into the things that were yet to come, we are told that on the throne of the Most High God, there is the Lamb who looks as though he had been slain, and he receives all honor and glory in that day. What a glorious day! So much more glorious than this sunny day where crowds meet Jesus and wave palms before him and greet him with the greetings that they feel are due to a prophet and to the deliverer that God has sent. Here we have in the highest place in heaven, at the culmination of all history, we have unending praise to Jesus because we know something more than this crowd did. On Palm Sundays, I'm accustomed to having the kids waving palm branches in church and marching around singing one of those great songs about his entry into Jerusalem. And it can seem a little bit corny sometimes, maybe a little bit silly when we act like that in a church. But I wonder why we don't rejoice more energetically, more like David when he was bringing the ark into Jerusalem and he danced about so much that his wife was ashamed and embarrassed by his enthusiasm. And when he was confronted with her rebuke, he said, "I will be even more undignified." Because David saw that there was someone more important than something more important than himself there. The ark of God was coming to Jerusalem. The Lord was with them. And here people are waving palm branches and shouting out Hosanna, completely ignorant of the Roman guards wondering what's going on, completely forgetting about the oppression in which they live because they have a deliverer in their midst. And what about us? Are we lifted up above our present distress by the certainty that we have in Jesus Christ? By the great demonstration of his love? Are we encouraged because he has died for us and now lives for us at the right hand of God the Almighty? That even now he intercedes for us? That he looks upon us? He sends his Holy Spirit to us? He keeps us and continues his good work on us, promising to complete what he's begun in us for that day when he comes to claim us. Do we not have more reason to rejoice, more opportunity to show love to him? I hope that today is a day of joy in your heart. I hope that today is a day of joy that overflows into a smile on your face, into a song of joy on your lips, into an exuberant display of love to your neighbor, to your brothers and sisters, and to your God, as you honor him with joy and with gladness because of his great love. Let's turn to God in prayer. Almighty God, I thank you so much for all that you've given us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we cry Hosanna. We cry praise to your name. We say, blessed is he, Jesus Christ, who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord, let your joy fill our hearts. Let our eyes be fixed on Jesus. Teach us to take encouragement from him over and above any discouragement we find in the world, to place our hope in him, and to live and rejoice in that hope day by day. Lord, we know that you came to deliver us from darkness. Let your light shine into our hearts today. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, once again, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your encouragement and support. It's you that keep us on the air week by week, and we do want to encourage you to support our ministry financially. Did you know the Good News Ministry has only one major cost? The four hosts, Brent Russett, George Sinclair, Juliet Schimpf, and myself, are volunteers. And so are the people who manage our website, organize our events, and operate our board. Your gift can help us to continue to meet that one vital expense, the cost of broadcasting, which enables us to reach you and over 7,000 listeners in the Ottawa River Valley. If you can please make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0, we will be happy to send you a receipt at income tax time. I also want to once again extend that invitation to come and join with us for an evening of worship and fellowship as Dr. Rick Reed, the president of Heritage College, brings an encouraging word and a strengthening word to us as he speaks for Good News Christian Ministries at Parkdale United Church on Friday, May 9th. That's at 7 o'clock at Parkdale United Church. More details can be found on our website. So be sure from going forth from this hour together, be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Now, to conclude our program, I'd like to have you listen to this song about the amazing work that God does for us through the cross. It's again sung by the a cappella group This Hope, and the song is Power in the Blood. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. May the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be free from your passion and pride?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide.
There's wonderful power in the blood. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment with the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.